Hey guys, Kyle back with Kyle Bro's Unedited Podcast, episode number 114. Yep, 114. What a wild Monday night game that was. Blown game by the Chiefs, to be all honest. I mean, the Eagles didn't look good again. I mean, 9-1, I think it's not like the Steelers 9-1 or Steelers undefeated season, but it feels a little like that. I don't think the Eagles are that good, but I mean, you have to respect a win's a win. I respect teams that can just get the job done as well, you know? I mean, that's why I kept the Chiefs so highly ranked. If you're getting the job done, you're getting the job done. The Eagles are getting the job done. So, yeah, Chiefs blow a 17-7 lead to the Eagles, lose 21-17. Drops continue to be a problem. My word, this Kansas City receiving corps. They struggle to catch the ball. It's bad. Justin Watson, multiple drops. Valdez-Scantling, game-winning touchdown, or at worst, you have the ball inside the 5-yard line going into the end zone to get the win. Just crazy to watch. It's Mahomes has to do so much. You look at his numbers, you think he's playing bad, but I mean, he's not really playing that bad. He's having to move a lot. He's having to do all that. And then when he's throwing to these guys, it's just continuous drops. Even Kelce had some drops tonight and then a fumble in the red zone. Mahomes did have a bad turnover in the red zone, the pick. Chiefs shot themselves. But this game should have probably been at one point 23-14, but could have been like 31-14. Rough go there for the Chiefs. They'll need to bounce back next week against the Raiders. 49ers starting to get that train rolling again. They beat the Bucks 27-14. 49ers, they know this is winning time now. We want to get the highest seed possible. We play the Eagles. We'd still love to gun for the one. Big win over the Bucks. Broncos extend their win streak to 4 games while ending the Vikings 5-game win streak with late game winning drive. They win 21-20. Russ with a great drive. To get him down there and then touchdown pass. Wins them the game. Tough loss for the Vikings. I kind of thought the Vikings were in control for most of that football game. So that's a tough loss for them, but they'll bounce back. They'll be okay. Bills rebound, dominate Jets 32-6. Wilson gets benched. He will be benched next week as well. I've read that he will not be the starting quarterback next week. It'll be Tim Boyle. So Zach Wilson, for now, appears to be done. In New York as the starter. Texans stay hot this time. Defense was able to win the game 21-16. I think Stroud had 3 turnovers. But they get the job done again. Sets up a huge matchup with Jacksonville. At home, they beat the shit out of Jacksonville on the road. So big game. Jacksonville got a win. So they're 7-3. Texans 6-4. If Texans win, same record. Texans will hold that head-to-head. Wow, Houston. We don't have a problem at quarterback. That's for damn sure. Some other headlines and discussion. Should the Chargers fire Staley? I mean, I don't know what to think. They fucked themselves. If they would have fired, because I'm just going to say this is from what I had read and heard. Russell Wilson Sean Payton. Was waiting to see if the Chargers were going to fire Brandon Staley. He would have chose that job over the Broncos. 100% he would have. But they didn't fire Staley, and so he went to Denver, and look what he's done with Denver. Quickly. Changed everything. 4-game win streak. They're in the playoff hunt now. They fucked up, the Chargers did, because they lost out on getting Sean Payton, who I think it would have been easier to fix the Chargers than it would have the Broncos. And look how quick Sean did that. Broncos are on the up. The Chargers are on the down. And it's because of Sean Payton, how he's been able to help Russell Wilson and fix up Russell Wilson. The Chargers are going in the wrong direction. They're now, the Raiders are 5-6. They're 4. They're last in the division right now. Crazy. Should Caleb want the Bears or the Cardinals? It's a tough one. Because we know Jonathan Gannon. I believe that's his name. Will be the head coach for the Cardinals next year. One season, they're not going to fire him. Especially when their starting quarterback was out. I don't think it'll matter because I don't. I think if the Cards get the number one pick, they're going to elect to trade it and get the house. The interesting thing with the Bears is probably going to be a new coach and everything. And it kind of ties into the next little headline discussion. Will Belichick be coaching somewhere else next season? Here's what I think is going to happen here. This is a bold take here. We're live on the pod. You're getting a bold take. The Bears wind up with the number one pick via Carolina. I think Bill Belichick knows the writing's on the wall in New England. They're in a bad spot. The Bears are going to fire the GM and the head coach. And I think the Bears are going to go. I think Bill Belichick is going to leave the New England Patriots and go to the Chicago Bears and be the GM and head coach. And he's going to get a draft Caleb Williams. And people are saying, why would he go to the Bears? I know people think that, you know, why would he not wait and see if he can get the Chargers job? I get that. Here's the thing. It's the AFC versus the NFC. The NFC is, yes, there are three really, really good teams in the NFC right now, potentially four of the Lions. It is way more, it's a lot, or I shouldn't say way more wide open, but it's a lot easier to get into the playoffs and get wins in the NFC than it is the AFC. The Bears are going to have two probable top five picks, most likely like number one and then probably like anywhere from two to five. So you can go get your quarterback and Caleb Williams. If you end up getting two, you draft Caleb and Marvin Harrison. You're going to get something for Justin Fields as well, so more assets. But if not, even if you don't get Marvin, you can get a defensive end. You can get an elite edge rusher. You can get an elite offensive tackle. I think it's a better job. I would rather go to Chicago than Los Angeles. I think Chicago is a quicker path to potentially building something towards a Super Bowl than the Chargers. Think of everything you got to deal with. I know Herbert's tremendous. Denver's coming with Sean Payton in your own division. Obviously, Andy Reid and Mahomes are there. Then you got Joe Burrow in the Bengals, Lamar and the Ravens in another division, Deshaun back next year with the Browns, Rodgers back next year with the Jets, Josh Allen with the Bills, Trevor Lawrence, C.J. Stroud. That is a tough division. It is a tough division. Tough conference. Well, you got the Eagles, who obviously will be there, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Vikings will be good, the Lions will be good. Those are your five secure. Those teams will for sure be good, right? Seattle's shaky. L.A., we don't know where they're going. I think if he went there and got Caleb Williams, and they'll have money to spend, if they go get Caleb Williams, and even if they don't get Marvin, though, they get an offensive tackle to protect him or an edge rusher, the Bears could be a playoff team next year. Easily. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he goes to Chicago. I truly think so. I think he goes to Chicago. If he leaves, I'm not saying he's for sure going to leave. If he does leave, though, I think he's leaving for the Bears. For, like I said, for many reasons. Easier to win in the NFC. A quarterback on a rookie deal. Drafting Caleb Williams, a rookie deal quarterback. Getting assets for Justin Fields, so you can get more picks there. I think it's a better job right now. I think if you look at it, it's a better job. The Chargers are paying a lot of older guys a lot of money. You know, Keenan Allen's getting older. Joey Bosa just got a serious injury. Khalil Mack's taking money, right? Mike Williams is getting money. They probably missed on Quentin Johnson, it looks like. Austin Eckler's a running back getting older. I think I'm just going to say it. I think the Bears is a better job than the Chargers. This offseason, I'd rather have the Bears job than the Chargers. All right, so let's get into my post week 11 top 16 power rankings. Let me get a quick drink. God, both quarterbacks were terrible tonight. Mahomes and Hurts were awful stat wise. Jesus Christ. So Eagles won for me. Again, you got to reward them. They're winning. 49ers 2. Eagles are 9-1, Niners are 7-3, Cowboys at 3, they're 7-3, Chiefs at 4, 7-3, Ravens at 5, 8-3, Lions at 6, 8-2, Jaguars at 7, 7-3, Dolphins at 8, 7-3, I still have the Browns in there at 7-3, I know they're going to drop off probably at some point, but right now, that defense is unreal. I mean, we'll see if Joe Flacco has anything left to offer, though. Texans at 10, at 6-4. Another win. They're hot. The Bills at 11, at 6-5. Broncos up to 12 at 5-5. First time, I don't know if they've been in my rankings all year. Maybe my preseason rankings. I'd have to go back and look. Vikings at 13 at 6-5. Seattle at 14 at 6-4. Saints at 15 at 5-5. And I do got the Steelers in there at 6-4. I mean, again, I'll reward them because they're winning. Let's go with some quick game picks. Obviously, me and my brother do game picks every week. I'm right now 105-63. He's actually only one game behind me. It's tight. He's 104-64. My upset of the week picks. I'm 5-6. He's 4-7. So let's get into the games real quick. Thursday, Thanksgiving games. Packers at Lions. Give me the Lions 27-17. Redskins at Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys 31-16. Cowboys, I think, have the most active the longest active home winning streak in football. That won't stop here. Is it at home? It has to be at home. It's Thanksgiving. Cowboys don't play. Yeah, it's at home. 49ers at Seahawks. I'm going to go Niners 24-20. There's a game on Friday. I mean, I think just because, you know, they know everyone's on Thanksgiving break and stuff for kids in school. Dolphins at Jets. Give me the Dolphins 27-13. Sunday early games. Give me Saints at Falcons. Give me the Saints by a field goal, 20-17. Steelers at Bengals. I'm actually going to go Bengals at home. Find a way to win this one, 23-20. Jaguars at Texans. This one was tough, but I'm going to go with the team that I thought could reach the AFC title game for the year. I think Trevor Lawrence, he had a massive game against the Titans. I think he might start finding it. I'm going to go Jaguars 31-27 on the road. Buccaneers at Colts. Give me the Bucs by one, 24-23. Patriots at Giants, I mean, geez, who can try to get a higher pick? Give me the Patriots, though, 19-16. Panthers at Titans, this isn't my upset of the week, but I am going to go Panthers 26-24. It is a potential upset of the week play, though. Chiefs at Raiders, give me the Chiefs 27-19. Rams at Cardinals, big game. The Cardinals are in a weird spot because Kyler Murray's not going to go out there to play to lose. But I am going to go Rams because I think they just beat the Seahawks. They're two games back from the wild card. They can make a run here. I don't know if they play the Seahawks again. I'd have to check that. But I'm going to go Rams 30-27. Browns at Broncos. I'm going to go Broncos 20-17. Bills at Eagles. This is my upset of the week. This is maybe more wishful thinking, hoping they can drop a game so the Cowboys have a chance to win the division. Give me the Bills 30-24. Sunday Night Football. Ravens at Chargers. Give me the Ravens 34-27. Ravens did lose Mark Andrews, and that's a bigger loss than people think. He's been their touchdown guy this year, so they got to find another ways to score. Bears at Vikings on Monday night. Give me the Vikings 27-24. So college basketball, big games of the week predictions. There is one going on, I believe, right now. Marquette versus UCLA in the Maui. I have Marquette over UCLA. I went 8-1 this week. Had Kansas over Kentucky, Duke over Michigan State, Marquette over Illinois. Lost to St. Mary's over San Diego State. Miami over Georgia hit. UConn over Indiana. That hit, Texas over Louisville hit, Tennessee over Syracuse hit, Purdue over Gonzaga hit, and then I have Marquette over UCLA. So 8-1 right now, 8-2 or 9-1 going into week two. Right now it's kind of tougher to predict because you can't get the full Maui and try to predict it, you know. So I'm going to go, so this week we got Tuesday, November 21st, so tomorrow morning when this pod comes out. I'm going to go Gonzaga over Syracuse in the Maui, Tennessee over Purdue in the Maui, and then I'm taking Kansas over either Marquette or UCLA in the Maui. Wednesday, November 22nd, Baylor, Oregon State, preseason NIT, give me Baylor. Arkansas, Stanford in the battle for Atlantis, give me Arkansas. Michigan State, Arizona, neutral site. I'm going to go with an upset here. I'm going to go Michigan State over Arizona. Texas A&M, Penn State in the ESPN Events Invitational, give me A&M. And Friday, November 24th, Alabama, Ohio State in the Emerald Coast Classic, give me Alabama. So again, it'll be easier to do them once, you know, the schedules are getting back to set and these preseason tournaments are over. But those are my big game, college basketball big games of the week predictions for this coming week. My 2.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings: Kansas number 1 at 4-0, UConn number 2 at 5-0. They look tremendous. They play at Allen Fieldhouse, so that'll be interesting. 3, I'm going to go Purdue at 4-0. 4, Arizona, they're 5-0. Marquette at 5, they're 3-0. Duke at 6, they're 3-1. Tennessee at 7, at 4-0. A&M at 8, at 4-0. Houston at 9, at 6-0. Creighton at 10, at 4-0. Miami at 11, at 5-0. Kentucky at 12, 4-1. Baylor at 13, 4-0. Alabama at 14-4-0. Texas at 15-4-1. Just dropped to UConn tonight. UNC gets in here at 16-3-0. Next five out, Gonzaga 2-1. Colorado 4-0. James Madison 4-0. Mississippi State 5-0. UCLA 3-0. Obviously, they're playing right now. But yeah, I don't even know. I guess I could check real quick while we're here. We can get that score. We're going to go into Premier League match day 12 predictions next. UCLA is actually up on Marquette with 2 minutes to go in the first half, 32-28. But let's get into Premier League. Overall record, 66 wins, 29 losses, 25 draws. I got to get back on the track. I haven't been great. Let's go back real quick. Where's footy? So match day 11 with 5 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws. Before that, though, 3 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws. And then 4 wins, 4 losses, 2 draws. So, you know, been in kind of a little bit of a slump. I started off really hot. The big game, Liverpool at Man City for top of Man City leads Liverpool by a point at top of the league. So this is a big one. A win for Liverpool would see them go top of the league. And I am going to go Liverpool 2-1 over Man City. Chelsea at Newcastle. I'm going to go Chelsea on the road 2-1. Starting off here with 3 straight road wins. Brighton at Nottingham. Give me Brighton 3-2. Bournemouth at Sheffield. I'm going to go Sheffield to get a win 1-0. Palace at Luton. Give me Palace 2-1. West Ham at Burnley. I keep picking Burnley. Got to get a win, right? Burnley 2-1. Arsenal-Brentford. Give me Arsenal 3-1. Villa-Tottenham. I'm going to go Villa in an upset at Tottenham 2-1. It's kind of an upset week, huh? Manchester United at Everton. Tougher game for United than people would think. I'm going to go 2-1 United, though. Wolves at Fulham. Again, a road win here. Wolves 1-0 for my Premier League match day predictions. Again, this week, kind of a simpler podcast. Just getting it. Just want to get everything out, ranking stuff like that, and, you know, and such. So let me get another drink, and we're going to get into top 5 reactions to week 12 in college football. All right. My top 5 reactions to week 12 in college football. KSU, the Cats, edge out my Jayhawks 31-27 and come back win. What can I say but a disaster for Kansas? They were, for most parts of that game, I would say for a lot of that game, were the better team. Just pissed away opportunities. Up 26-16 at half. Get the ball to start. Great first drive. Go up 27-16. K-State has the ball. Will Howard throws it right to Rich Miller. It's a walk-in pick six to go up 34-16, and he drops it. Next play, 60-yard carry for K-State. And I knew right then that the tide's returning. K-State goes down and scores. Get the 2-point conversion, makes it 27-24. I believe KU punted. And then the defense play. Well, defense was tremendous. KU's defense was tremendous. Okay, they besides the pick six drop, they did a lot of things to keep us in that game and keep us ahead. You know, I think they got tired for sure. And then we hold them to a punt, bad punt. Ball's going to land at K-State's 45 about, or midfield. Wilson runs up under it, fair catch, muffs the punt. K-State recovers it, and it just felt like that was the dagger. They went down and scored, and 31-27, and we drove down 4th and 5. Instead of taking the 3, we go for it, pick in the end zone. And then they're able to run out the clock. And that was all she wrote. It's a tough loss to take. We had them. The pick six, I think, would have, you know, I wouldn't say end a game, but man, it was 34-16. I can't remember what time that happened at, but it felt like that was, that definitely turned the game. You know, the muff punt didn't help after a stop, but then the drop pick six, man, really, just, it kind of took the air out of the stadium. It kind of just took the air out of the stadium, and, you know, K-State capitalized. Georgia handles Tennessee 38-10. Georgia's rolling. They're the best team in the country. Washington holds on at Oregon State in the rain. They won 22-20. So Oregon and Washington, 1 week left, rivalry week, to try to play each other to go to the playoff. Michigan survives scare at Maryland, setting up a winner-go-home matchup versus Ohio State. Cannot wait for that one, 11 o'clock on Saturday. Dabo and Clemson extend winning streak to 3 with 31-21 over North Carolina. Yeah, Clemson's played really good here as of late. They've played really good. Dabo's got it turned around here late in the year. Some other headlines. I saw this. Is Lincoln Riley in the hot seat? I think this is a ridiculous, ridiculous statement I saw. That the hottest seat, I saw a tweet, I can't remember who it was by. Now I'm pissed off that I can't remember. Lincoln Riley's the hottest seat? What? I know it was a disappointing year. Don't get me wrong. Terrible year. Insane to say he's on the hot seat, though. Insane. One of your top eight teams that most likely could be upset. Well, I'm going to... first off, prayers sent to Jordan Travis. Horrific injury. His career at Florida State is done. And it's so fucking sad because now you have to... Yeah, you have to win two games because you know the committee... They're looking like cake, and you know they're probably thinking Florida State lose. Like even if they go 13, no, we know they're not one of the four best teams in the country without Jordan Travis. So I would put them on the most likely to be upset. Florida over Florida State. Florida's at home. Florida almost had Missouri. Graham Mertz, you look at his stats, has not played bad this year. I think they're the one that's on the chopping block for upset. Obviously not Michigan, Ohio State. You're not going to include. So yeah, I'm going to go Florida over Florida State. Again, sad for Jordan Travis. He was having an unbelievable season, looking to get Florida State back into the playoffs. First time since, 2015 with Winston. It's really sad. It's very sad to see that injury. And, kind of a meaningless game. You know, a game, non-conference game against a really inferior opponent. It's really sad to see. But, you know, prayers to him, speedy recovery. We'll see what happens, though, in the coming weeks with Florida State. Post week 12 top six Heisman rankings. I'm still going Bo Nix at one, but Jaden Daniels is right there, and Michael Penix. Those are the three. And I think you look at Carson Beck's numbers. My God, he's tremendous. Carson Beck is tremendous. And then Marvin Harrison at five, and I actually bumped up Jalen Milroe, quarterback out of Alabama, here to number six. So again, it goes Nix, Jaden Daniels, Penix, Carson Beck, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Jalen Milroe. Post week 12, Power 23 college football rankings. Georgia, number one. I got them back up to number one. I got Ohio State at two. And they'll be playing Michigan, number three, this week to go to the Big Ten Championship and probably a college football playoff berth because I doubt either team loses to Iowa. Washington in there at four still. Florida State at five, both undefeated. Oregon at six still. Texas at seven still. Alabama at eight still. Louisville at nine still. Missouri at 10 at 9-2. Penn State's at 11 at 9-2. Ole Miss at 12 at 9-2. Oklahoma at 13 at 9-2. Top group of five, Tulane at 10-1 with a big one against UTSA this weekend. 15 Arizona at 8-3. 16 LSU at 8-3, 17 Notre Dame at 8-3, 18 Iowa at 9-2, 19 Oklahoma State at 8-3, 20 Kansas State at 8-3, 21 Oregon State at 8-3, Liberty at 22 at 11-0. Liberty is looking for Tulane to possibly slip up. Toledo at 23 at 10-1. Next five out, I'm going UNLV, Clemson, Kansas, SMU, and NC State. As my next five out. Top five games of the week went 3-2 last week. So I'm 41-24 overall. Record's gotten a lot better after these last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So to kick it off, this will be Thursday on Thanksgiving. The Egg Bowl, Ole Miss at Mississippi State, number 13 Ole Miss. Give me Ole Miss 34-24. Friday, I believe there's two here. Yeah, two of these are on Friday. UTSA at number 14 Tulane. This is a big game. Winner goes to the most likely, I guess. I mean, SMU could lose, but if SMU wins, this game will be to go to the American, what is it, the American Athletic, something, American Athletic Conference, something like that. I'm going to go Tulane at home, 31-27. Close game, but I'm going to take number 14, Tulane. Number 21, Oregon State at number 6, Oregon. I'm going to take Oregon. Their defense is good. I'm going to take them in kind of a route, 38-20. Number 2, Ohio State at number 3, Michigan. I'm going to take Ohio State. J.J. McCarthy is not very good. They don't trust him to throw the ball. Ohio State's defense is way more prepared than it has been the last 2 years, and it's not even close. Give me Ohio State 27-24 in Ann Arbor. Iron Bowl, threw it on here just because it's the Iron Bowl. Give me number 8 Alabama over Auburn 31-13. So my updated New Year's Six Bowl predictions. For the college football playoff semifinal, the Sugar Bowl, Georgia SEC champ, versus Texas, the Big 12 champ. I'll explain why Florida State's out here in a minute and my predictions. Rose Bowl, college football semifinal. Hold on. Had this wrong. The Rose Bowl's, the Rose Bowl's a semifinal. So, yeah, I had it as a, sorry, had it as a regular bowl. Okay. Rose Bowl, college football playoff semifinal, Ohio State Big Ten champ versus Oregon Pac-12 champ. The Orange Bowl will be Florida State ACC champ. I think they lose to Florida this week, but they do beat Louisville in the ACC title. So I'm going to go Florida State ACC champ versus Michigan, Big Ten at large in the Orange Bowl. Fiesta Bowl, Washington Pac-12 at large versus Missouri SEC at large. Peach Bowl, Alabama SEC at large versus Penn State Big Ten at large. The Cotton Bowl, Tulane top group of five versus Louisville ACC at large. Are my updated New Year's Six bowl game predictions. So now we can get in. What a fight night this is this weekend. UFC fight night, Dariush versus Arman Tsarukyan. Again, this is a great, great card. UFC fight night. Dariush v. Arman Tsarukyan. Great fight. This card's tremendous. We'll look at, again, preview the card real quick, do a little quick predictions. Okay, so the main card, he started off with Beneil Dariush versus Tsarukyan. Tsarukyan, let's see, he's on a two-fight win streak. He beat Ismagulov via decision, knocked out Joaquim Silva. He had the loss to Gamrot that I thought was shaky. I thought he clearly won the fight. And then you got Dariush, who was on a unbelievable winning streak. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fight winning streak. And then he was knocked out by Charles Oliveira in round one. This is kind of they're kind of putting him in a tough spot here. It's kind of a gatekeeper fight, but it's kind of like, all right, Dariush, are you going to be, you know, going away from the elite, or can you step back in? Because Tsarukyan's on the come up. That's a great fight. Oh, and the co-main event, fight of the night, written all over it. Dan Hooker, Bobby Green, come on. Just two vets, slugfest. Cannot wait for that one. That's going to be a striking battle for sure. Rob Font versus Figueiredo. Figueiredo coming up to bantamweight from flyweight. Tough test for his first out. Rob Font, a tremendous boxer. We'll see if Figueiredo tries to use any ground game. Rob Font was easily taken down by Corey Sandhagen, so we'll see what happens there. Sean Brady, Kelvin Gastelum. This is a tough fight. Again, I haven't looked at the odds. I'll be interested to see. This is a tough fight for Sean Brady because I didn't think his striking looked good. Didn't look great against Bilal. And if he can't get the takedown on Gastelum, who's very hard to take down, I think he could be in some trouble. Khalil Roundtree taking on Osmat Mirzakhanov. Now, Mirzakhanov, he's one of these up-and-comers. He's 34, but he's in the light heavyweight division. He's undefeated at 13-0. He's 3-0 in the UFC. He's got two knockouts, and he had a decision win over Jacoby. This is a tough fight for Roundtree. This is also a big step up for Mirzakhanov. I love this fight. I'm guessing this one stays on the feet as well. And then you get two fun ones on the prelims. Guida versus Silva. Misha Tate versus Julia Avila. Joaquim Silva versus Guida is interesting. So let's get into predictions real quick. Quick hitter. So Tate, Avila, give me Tate via decision. Give me Guida over Silva via decision as well. I'm going to go Mirzakhanov via round two knockout of Khalil Roundtree. Sean Brady. Oh, am I? I don't know. That's a tough fight. That's a tough fight. Yeah, I'm going to take I love Roundtree. He's one of my favorite fighters. Yeah, give me Mirzakhanov round two knockout, though. I think he finished him. I think Mirzakhanov's very good. Sean Brady, again, coming off his first loss. Kelvin Gastelum moving back down to welterweight, which I love. I think he should have been there the whole time. I'm actually going to go Kelvin Gastelum via decision. I think it's going to be a really good fight, but I think Gastelum takes it. Rob Font Figueiredo, I actually think this is one of the tougher ones for me to pick. God, I seriously think this is a tough one. It's a three-rounder, so Figueiredo doesn't have to worry about the gas tank as long. Give me Figueiredo via decision in a very, very close fight. Bobby Green, Dan Hooker. Bobby Green's looked very good his last two. Oof. I just can't go against Dan Hooker. I'm going to go... God, did Dan Hooker stop Bobby Green, though? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go Dan Hooker via round two TKO. Dariush Shariukin. This one's tough to pick as well. It's a five-rounder. I feel the longer it goes, the better. But Dariush, is he going to be a little more weathered now? He's been through some wars, just got knocked out. I'm going to go Armin Saryukin via round three TKO over Beneil Dariush. That is a tough one for me to pick. I don't like any of these fights. I think all of them are pretty tight. UFC Fight Night, Dariush Shariukin odds. See if we can find the odds here. I like fightodds.io. Okay, we're going to go off of FanDuel. So I pick Misha Tate. She is a plus 124 dog to Avila's minus 160. Clay Guida is a plus 186 dog to Joaquim Silva's minus 245. Roundtree is a plus 120 dog to Azmat, minus 154. Sean Brady's minus 128 to Gaslam, minus 100, so very close. Font is minus 170 to Figueiredo's plus 142. That's interesting. Bobby Green, plus 146. Hooker, minus 188. And Saryukin is the overwhelming favorite at minus 245 to plus 186. God, cannot wait for these fights. Sadly, do have to announce that I actually hit a five unit, albeit it did me betting K-State Moneyline with Georgia Moneyline. But I'm plus 5.8 this week. I'm now only minus 21.6. I'm going to try to make a run now. Games of the week, I'm also in front. I'm still alive in Survivor League. Panel parlay will be Zach's this week. The boys will be back, of course. This time we're actually going to be doing the podcast about Friday, kind of Friday mid-morning, 10:30, 11-ish. Get it out by noon. Just want to get it going before all the games start on Friday, especially the college football, because college football slate, basically the big games start basically Friday. So I want to get the pod going before those games kick off, or during kickoff at least. But yeah, that's going to be it for Unedited. Getting close to bowl season. Love it. Love bowl season. College basketball's back, obviously. Rock chalk. Big one tomorrow, either Marquette or UCLA. Either way, it's going to be a tough, tough game for KU. Again, I love these. You know, even if you drop some of these early games against, I just love that we're playing competitive, really good teams. Fee pointed out to me, look at shitters like Houston, who are declaring themselves as an elite basketball team playing a dog shit non-conference, while KU's going to possibly play two top seven teams in the country in their next two games, even if they win or lose. If they play Marquette, that'll be a top five team. If they win and play Purdue or Tennessee, that'll be a top seven team. Or if they lose and then they play Purdue or Tennessee, that'll be a top seven team. And they still have UConn on the schedule. Indiana's looked good. A tough schedule, and I love that Bill Self does it, though. It prepares the team. I think early on it helps a lot. So, and of course, Liverpool, we're going to take down Man City. Top of the league. You never walk alone. Again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back Friday morning with KB and the boys, and next Tuesday with Unedited. Thank you guys again for listening. Love you all. Peace.